Easter. Great. Should we pray? Father God, we thank you for the joy of this day, that there is hope because you have destroyed death and you have given us life in deep communion with you. And pray that we would enjoy your company as we sit under your word together now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 2018, Ross Edgeley swam around Britain in 157 days. I don't know if you've seen his blog or his stuff on YouTube. He's quite an amazing guy. He had 37 stings from jellyfish as he swam all the way around Britain. And the salt water rotted his tongue to the point where even bits of it fell off. Ugh. His feet atrophied to a point because he wasn't using them in the usual way, just swimming, that he had to learn how to walk again after reaching land, after 157 days. And he was asked, why? Why did you go through that? Why on earth would you want to put your body through that amount of pain? And he just said, there was something in me, there's something like a pilgrimage within me. There was this deep yearning. He used this Japanese word. You'll have to forgive my pronunciation. My Japanese isn't what it used to be. But it's okugaki. Does anyone speak Japanese here? No? Okay, well, I will stick with that then. Okugaki. And it was referred to the monks, the Japanese monks, who would go deep inside on a spiritual journey. And he described, that's what it was like for me, swimming around Britain. And he said that the way that I got through it, although I nearly went stir crazy several times, was to enjoy the process and not think so much about the destination. To enjoy the process, that this was teaching me a deep lesson as I swam around Britain. And that struck me that that's a really good metaphor, actually, for the Christian life. To enjoy Jesus here and now is why we were created. I know we think a lot about eternal life and that's going to be amazing and it's going to be awesome. But today we celebrate not only that Jesus is risen from the dead, but that he is alive here and now and that we can have a living relationship with him here and now. We enjoy the process now. We're on that spiritual journey, but we can enjoy the process now. If you look in our passage tonight at verse 13, there's two followers of Jesus who were on the way to Emmaus, a village 7 miles from Jerusalem. And no doubt they were returning from their own pilgrimage. Every year, thousands of Jews would go to Jerusalem at Passover, the day, as it happens this time, that Jesus was crucified. So these two guys, Cleopas and his companion, were on the way back from Jerusalem, having made that pilgrimage, that okugaki. And they would have gone there for that spiritual inner journey too. You see, you'd make your pilgrimage to Passover to have your sins forgiven for that year. You'd go and offer and pay for your sacrifice that the priest would make on your behalf so that you could be washed clean of your sins for that whole past year. So no doubt they had gone there this year knowing that there was something even more special going on. They'd clearly seen that there was a prophet there. They say in verse 19, didn't they, that a prophet, a man in powerful word and deed before God and all the people, was crucified. So maybe this year on their okugaki, their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to that Passover festival, their expectations were even higher. They were excited about maybe meeting with God and connecting with God, that living, that process moment right there and then in a new and special way. But they're returning to Emmaus with downcast faces. Jesus said to them, why are your faces downcast? Because they said, this great man, this person we'd hope might connect us with God. That's my words, not theirs. He was crucified. This year, they had gone, perhaps hoping for that deep spiritual connection, but they were returning back to Emmaus, downcast. How true an experience can that be for us? Many of us travel through life without ever really making that deep spiritual connection. our okugaki, if you like. For many of us, and even those of us who follow Jesus, we can spend many years walking along the road without ever really connecting with the companion who walks alongside us. And yet we know deep down, don't we, at the foundation and the creation of our being, our soul was at peace with God. And we instinctively know that once we put our trust in Christ, that when we get to our destination, that consummation of our future, our soul will be at peace again. But until that happens in this life, we remain homesick. And we move in and out of contact with our soul, don't we? Most of us, and I speak for myself here, rush around so much in life that we rarely slow down to move at the deeper, slower pace that the soul moves at. The soul that operates in deep time and space. We rarely slow down long enough to listen, to take that okugaki journey inside, to connect with who we are and who God is. We're too busy not making that pilgrimage. And we walk along the Emmaus Road, not really aware, like these pilgrims were, of who walks alongside them, keeping them company. The American monk Thomas Merton writes this: "We spend so long climbing the corporate ladder only to reach the top to realize it's been leaning against the wrong wall." We can spend so long climbing the corporate ladder only to reach the top and realize it's been leaning against the wrong wall. I wonder, does that resonate with you? It did with me when I read it. We can be so busy and so disconnected. I know misconnected's not a word, but I'm going to stick with it because it seems to resonate a bit more with what I mean. We're kind of just out of sync, aren't we, with who we really are, about what we were designed for, the relationship we were created for. We know it, don't we, deep down, that that's what we're supposed to be like. We find our completeness in Jesus, and yet we run around life so busy and crazy a lot of the time that we're just out of touch with that part of our being, that part that deeply connects with God. So we're misconnected people and homesick people. I wonder, have you reached the top of the ladder? And does it feel a little bit like it's been leaning up against the wrong wall? But the good news of the Emmaus Road story, this wonderful resurrection story and resurrection encounter, is that it teaches us how to reconnect with God and with the deepest aspect of the soul. It's ironic, isn't it, that these two were walking along the Emmaus Road, a road familiar with them, having been on a pilgrimage, and walking alongside them is the risen Lord Jesus. Now, to be fair, it does say that they were kept from recognizing. I don't quite know what's going on there, but even so, it was a long journey, 7 miles. You'd have thought at some point they would have looked up and thought, But anyway, I'll ask that question when we get to heaven. But how many of us, as Christ's followers, disciples, devotees, can remain disconnected on our pilgrimage, aware but also oblivious to the one who walks alongside us? For many of us, myself included, we rarely get the chance to take the opportunity for okugaki, to make that inward spiritual journey, to slow down and move at the slower pace, can keep company with Jesus, to keep in that living relationship. And the first way is through his word. We encounter the living Jesus in his word. It's great having Beth and Ben back with us, and it takes me back to when I was at training college myself. And I remember, you'll remember the analogy that the Bible is like a manual for life. Have you heard that one before? You know, the Bible's a manual for life. And I get what people are trying to say about this, but I remember this conversation we had in a lecture at college about biblical interpretation. And we're saying, actually, that's a really bad metaphor. The Bible's not a manual for life. It won't teach you what career you need to take. It won't help you when your car breaks down. It won't tell you who to marry. It won't tell you where to live. It's not really primarily about having a manual to become better people, to become more moral. That's not why we read the Bible. It can be an important offshoot of our time spent in God's word, but it's not why it was given to us. The point I'm trying to make is that scripture is where we meet the living Christ. Look at verses 18 to 21. Cleopas and his companion knew all about Jesus. They knew that he was a prophet, mighty in word and deed before God and the people. He would come to redeem Israel. They clearly knew a lot about the scriptures. But verse 32, it's only when Jesus opens the scriptures that their hearts burn. Verse 27, Jesus teaches them, doesn't he, through all of the scriptures. Therefore, all of scripture points us towards Jesus. We are to meet the living Lord Jesus in scripture. It's not enough to know about him. It's fundamentally different to know about someone to actually knowing them. It's the difference between having a photograph and being with someone in their very presence. We're not satisfied with a photograph, are we? There's something not quite right about FaceTime, helpful as that can be, or emails, or whatever communication it would be. None of that can replace actually being in someone's presence. It's the same with Scripture. We can study Scripture till we're blue in the face. We can know all about God and never actually encounter his living presence. It's a very subtle difference. But let's not be like the Pharisees who diligently search the word but fail to realize that they testify about Jesus. You see, we keep company with the living Jesus in a living relationship as we sit under his living word. And the reason that's important rather than the manual is because this is a living daily conversation. This is living daily bread, as Jesus would say. And once we spent time feasting on Christ in the scriptures, it guides us as we immerse ourselves in God's plan. See, treating the Bible like a manual is to say, no, I want to take God's word and apply it to my plans. It's a fundamentally inverse thing that we need to do. The Bible is a manual, but it's a manual to discover who God is. It's a manual to discover who Jesus is. It's a manual to discover how much God loves you and the plans he has for you, which are to know Christ and live with him as Lord. Then everything else flows out of that. You can't turn it the other way around. Otherwise, we just preempt God and ask him to bless our plans. Very different view of life. Anyway, I've got that off my chest now. It's all right. Don't get me wrong, the manual thing can work. You just got to get it in the right order as well. So if that's been a helpful metaphor to you in the past, keep journeying with it, but keep meeting with Jesus in the scriptures. The second way in which we keep company with Jesus and he keeps company with us is in fellowship and worship. Look at verse 30. When Jesus broke bread, that's when their eyes were opened. I wonder why you come to church. It's a nice thing to do. It can be a traditional thing to do. But actually, we come to church to meet with one another because Jesus lives in each one of us if we're trusting in him. I could do a really cheesy thing. I'll spare you it. But you could look in each other's eyes right now and spot Jesus in each other's eyes. But that's why we come. That's why being together in fellowship with one another is so important, because we meet Jesus in one another. And as we gather in worship not just because it's nice things to sing nice songs, but because in worship together, corporately as his people, we meet the living Lord Jesus. See, breaking bread was not only a signpost of Holy Communion, but breaking bread was a sign of fellowship, of being together. So when Jesus breaks bread with those two companions, their eyes are open. They discover him in worshiping. It's the same for us when we worship. Worship opens our eyes to Jesus in a way that we can't do on our own. Yes, you can worship on your own. Of course you can. But not in the same way when we come together as God's people. As the scriptures say, he inhabits the praises of his people. It's so important that we meet together to worship and be together, to do life together. Come to the APCM next week and listen to what God's been doing throughout the year. It's a really exciting meeting. I'm not going to try and sell it. It is. But then afterwards, we can gather together for a meal and enjoy time together where we meet together and we meet with Jesus. And as we sing songs, we're not just singing songs because it's nice, and I'm a musician, I love singing songs. But did you know that music actually has a profound effect on the brain that goes deeper than any other stimulus? There's something very profound that happens when we sing together. When you combine that kind of natural phenomenon with the Holy Spirit being inhabiting our praises, yes, we see Jesus in profound ways when we worship together. Christ dwells in us. Christ dwells in our corporate worship. That's why we come together, to meet with Christ. So as we return, as we close, back to our okugaki, that inward journey then is also a profoundly outward journey. We journey inward to connect with Jesus, and we do this through his word, through fellowship, and through worship. And when we recognize Christ within us, feasting on him as our daily bread, with him at the center of our being, we move more in line with that deep space-time of our soul as we were created to. And as we recognize Christ's love for us and our hearts burn with passion for him, verse 33, we go and tell others. We move into that great commission with our hearts on fire, having encountered this very day the living Lord Jesus. And we're able to resonate with where he is operating in the lives of others, because we see the potential for those hearts to find their home, that they may be homesick no more, and that they too might encounter the living Lord Jesus and have their hearts set on fire just as they were created to be. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are alive. Thank you that you are living, and that we can have that living, daily, intimate conversation with you. That you're interested in the big details and the small minutiae of our lives. Lord, forgive us when we take that for granted. Forgive us when we rush around and we lose track of who we are and who you are. Help us to have our hearts come alive as you open your scriptures to us, as we feast on your daily bread. And would you guide us into God's plans? Would you guide us to that inner voice, your voice that says we are your beloved children, and set our hearts on fire? And Lord, with that ringing in our hearts and minds, may we be quick to spot where you are at work in the lives of others, so that we may help them to discover the wonderful love of Jesus, the forgiveness we have through the cross, and the passionate living life we were created for, as we join with him in deep fellowship through his Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.